TED Audio Collective. This TED Talk features entrepreneur and justice reform advocate Marcus Bullock, recorded live at TED Salon Trailblazers 2019.
Support for TED Talks Daily comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/TED Talks. That's odoo.com/TED Talks. Odoo, modern management made simple. This show is brought to you by Schwab. You're here to keep a pulse on environmental trends. Well, now you can invest in what's trending in electric vehicles, renewable energy, water sustainability, and more with Schwab Investing Themes. It's an easy way to invest in ideas you believe in. Schwab's research uncovers emerging trends, then their technology curates relevant stocks into themes. Choose from over 40 themes. Buy all the stocks in a theme as is or customize to better fit your investing goals. All in a few clicks. Schwab Investing Themes is not intended to be investment advice or a recommendation of any stock or investment strategy. Learn more at schwab.com/thematic investing.
One evening, after watching the nightly news with my then 5-year-old son, he asked me a question I thought I would have a ton of time to answer. I thought the complicated questions typically came at 8 or 9 years old. But my son looked me in the eyes while I was tucking him in, and with a very straight face, he asked me, "Daddy, why did you go to jail?" My wife and I often thought about this moment. We knew this question was coming, and we wanted to handle it well. But that night, I had a question to answer. So I decided to tell my son how I ended up going to prison when I was just a 15-year-old kid. A friend of mine and I, we approached a man sleeping in his car, pulled out a gun, demanded the keys to his car, and sped off. That decision landed me in front of a judge, with my mom and my sister standing just a few feet behind me as they listened to me get sentenced to 8 years in adult maximum security prisons. This was one of the hardest times of my life. In fact, for the first 2 years, I battled depression by living in denial about my prison sentence. I would commonly say things to my mom like, "I mean, Ma, I know you don't think that this judge is really going to keep us here through Christmas, and then Valentine's Day, and then the last day of school, and then the first day of school, and on and on." I promised my mom that one day, someone would see that I was drowning in those cells. That someone would tell us that we could breathe again because they just wanted to teach me a hard lesson. But one day, as I'm walking around the prison rec yard with my friend Danny B, I asked him, "How long have you been here?" And he told me that he had already served 31 years. My palms immediately got sweaty, heart dropped down to my toes, and it hit me like a ton of bricks, because that's the moment when I realized I would have to serve all 8 of my years. Now, the story of going to prison as a teenager is not an uncommon one, but for my family, this was the most tragic thing that had happened in our lives. I missed my family terribly. And just like every other teenager, I just wanted to open up gifts on Christmas morning and graduate from high school with my friends. And because of the intense security in prisons, internet access is limited. There's no easy emailing, no texting, and definitely no social media. This means that the meaningful moments like prom night or college graduation, or the tons of free content that you and I digest every day, very seldom get shared with the cousin, sibling, or best friend in prison. I became very dark. My childhood and the dreams of it, they disappeared. And those slamming steel doors, clanking shut every night in a prison housing unit, they forced me to grow up fast. I can tell you firsthand that there's something about the violent cards of prison that completely cripple hope. I even tried to push my mom away because I didn't want her to be subject to the collect calls, the 8-hour drives for the 1-hour visits, those horrible body cavity searches that she would experience coming into the prison visiting room. But as many of you parents here know tonight, that you can't stop a mother's love. So what did my mom do? She made a promise while sitting in a prison visiting room. She promised that she would write me a letter or send me a picture every day from that day forward until I came home. I had 6 years left to do on a sentence. Our lives were completely crumbling around us. And here comes this happy-go-lucky lady prancing into a prison visiting room like I'm in summer camp with a new plan to send me a bunch of pictures. Such an interesting time. Little did I know, it would be my mom's letters that saved my life. My mom would take pictures of a cheeseburger or a mattress at a department store. And she would send them to me along with a letter with a promise that one day I would enjoy a fat, juicy burger or sleep on a comfortable bed. My mom assured me that there was life after prison. In fact, my best friends began living vicariously through my mom's letters and photos, giving an entire prison unit a glimpse into what was happening in the world. After 8 years of nightmares of prison never ending, being dehumanized, strip searched, watching people get wheeled down the prison walkway in body bags, I was finally released. And I bet you can't guess who was there to pick me up that cold morning in February. Okay, you guessed it. My sister and my mom. The years that we prayed for were finally in front of us. And the pain of living behind bars was behind us. And so we thought. Like me, most people in prison are coming home one day. And unlike me, many don't have the consistent support during and after incarceration that I had. The struggle is real. And even I struggled to find a job when I came home. Each application that I filled out, from grocery stores to mortgage companies to fashion retail, they all included the same question. Glowing, pulsating, waiting for me to add my check. Have you ever been convicted of a felony? Now, to be honest, I knew that this moment was coming, and I knew I would have to face this issue. So I leveraged the mental toughness that I built while going through prison. But after being declined for over 40 jobs, even I began to feel deflated. I thought that I would get my life back and that all of those things were behind me and things would start looking up. But that decision that I made when I was a 15-year-old kid continued to haunt me, even up until that moment. But while on a job hunt, one day I ran across an application that asked the question, but this time it was worded a little differently. This time the question asked, have you been convicted of a felony within the last 7 years? Now, after doing an 8-year prison sentence, I could honestly say that my conviction was over 7 years ago. I was able to answer that question with an honest no, and finally, I landed my first job. I was the guy who mixed paint at the paint store. And eventually, customers would come into the store and they would ask me, "Hey, Marcus, how much do you charge to paint my kitchen?" I'm like, "Well, Ms. Johnson, we don't paint kitchens. We sell you the paint so that you can paint your own kitchen." A light bulb went off, and I launched a painting company that became the conduit between the customers in the paint store and the painters who needed consistent work. After a year or so, I left that paint store. We grew our contracting company, and since then, I have hired tons of other returning citizens. I stand today with a felony. And just like millions of others around the country who also have that F on their chest that represents felony, just as my mom promised me many years ago, I wanted to show them that there was still life after prison. I started living my best life. And I couldn't believe that I was living on a cloud. But my friends, the same ones I grew up with in O'Sales, they would call me and constantly ask for pictures of this new life I was living. If I traveled, they wanted pictures. When I got married, they wanted pictures. But I didn't have the time or the bandwidth to sit and write a letter or print pictures for my phone. I would commonly tell them, "Dude, if I could just text you, my life would be so much easier." And after searching the app stores for a solution to this problem and not being able to find one, we launched Flickshop. I kid you not. Did you know that the prison phone business created a $1 billion industry? Some of these businesses are predatory. And so we knew we had to figure out how to disrupt this space. Flickshop allows our family members to take a picture, add some quick text, press send, and for 99 cents, we print that picture and text on a real tangible postcard and mail it directly to any person in any cell anywhere in the country. There are millions of families that are becoming torn apart simply because they don't have the time to write a letter, figure out how to print a photo from their phone, make a store run to go buy a box of envelopes, and then to the post office to go buy stamps. We started by connecting 50 families, and then 100 families, and then 500 families. And now today, I am proud to say we've connected over 140,000 families around the country. We even commonly receive mail in my office overflowing my desk from people in prison like Jason. Jason says, "I got about 15 postcards last night of so many words of motivation that I had to write to you, just say thank you." Or George, who writes, "Today I received about 6 postcards with so much love, I do not know where this roof of love has come from. I cannot believe how blessed I am to sometimes be able to meet a child who sends Flickshop postcards to their incarcerated parents. Sometimes I'm able to even go to the White House and address the nation and talk about the need for criminal justice reform." And this story is just incredible for me because this wasn't always my life. I remember very vividly living in a 6-foot by 9-foot cell with a man that was 22 years old and there to serve life plus 43 years. And thinking in my head while I'm sitting in that bunk, that together we probably would die in those cells. Well, I know that our era of mass incarceration in the things that we see on the news dealing with people going to prison is a huge societal issue that we all have to band together to help solve. But I am confident that if we're very intentional about building family connections in environments where they're needed the most, then this is a big step in the right direction. I absolutely love this stage of my life, this chapter, where I'm standing right now. But you know who's having way more fun than me at this stage? My mom. I love you, Mom. Thank you.
For more TED Talks, go to TED.com.